Blog Talk Radio.
Gonna tell you a little bedtime tale, legend it will become. Burgers flying out the door, sail on. 2-for-1, no concern for the future, living for today. Fast food bite on your way, lay it all to waste. The masses are afflicted now. Moo, mad cow, mad cow. Mad cow line dance song.
Hey, Sign Guy Nation, welcome back to the show. Sign Guy and QT with you as usual on a Friday afternoon. Some show notes before we jump in things today. If you're looking for wrestling in the next couple of days, tonight you have WCWO like usual at the Outlaw Arena in Indianapolis, Indiana. Prestige Wrestling in Spokane, Washington. MSWA in Rockwood, Tennessee. NEW in Monroeville, Pennsylvania, featuring Dylan Bostic versus Jerry Lawler. Tomorrow night, special day and place for blue collar wrestling. They'll be at a festival on Jansen Beach in even more northeastern Portland than normal. That's a 1 p.m. start there. Project 42 in Seattle, Washington. And that's going to be featuring the debut of our very own Dimitri as the ring announcer there. HPW, my old stomping grounds in Columbus, Indiana. Emerge Wrestling, also in Columbus, Indiana tomorrow. WWA featuring Tracy Smothers in Livermore, Kentucky. NEW in Cranville, West Virginia. And AWA in Codian, Alabama. And speaking of that last show, I want to welcome our guest on the show today. He will be on that AWA show tomorrow. And he is all over the southeastern part of the country right now, coming to us from Russia to kick off Russia Month on the program. Vladimir Koloff, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. How are you guys?
Doing very well. Al, since today is your first time with us, we're going to start you out with the traditional first-timers question. How did you get into the professional wrestling industry?
Well, let me tell you, I've loved professional wrestling all of my life. And when I first, as a little child, my grandmother would sit me in her bed at night as she would watch the programs. And it has been ingrained in me my entire life. So as an adult, I've decided to get into the wrestling industry. And about 5 years ago, 2014, I started training and officially made my pro debut in the States, September of 2014.
Now, what was it that inspired you to become a professional wrestling? What made you say this was the profession for you?
I would have to say, again, this was ingrained in me. As a child, I've watched it, and there's no real explanation that I can give you other than I've just known that my entire life, that I've felt that this was meant to be for me, that I felt like no matter where I was in this world, no matter what I was doing, that I was meant to be a professional wrestler. And so I made the leap. I had to at least bet on myself and continue to bet on myself every day.
Now, over the years in wrestling, pretty much since the dawn of the television era of professional wrestling, we have seen Russian athletes make their way to the United States. There's been people like Nikolai Volkov, Nikita Koloff, Ivan Koloff. There's been people like the Russian Assassin. So many great Russians throughout the history of our business. Whom would you say are some of the greatest Russian athletes that the professional wrestling business has ever produced?
Well, I would have to say the first name that comes to mind, obviously, is Ivan Koloff. And just to address any confusion, I am not in any relation to them that I know of. However, I have always admired Ivan Koloff and the fact that he was one of the first few mainstream Russians to, I mean, win the WWF title back in the 70s. And really, you know, obviously you mentioned Nikita and like I said, Nikita Koloff and Nikolai Volkov and some of the great Russians of that the states know about. And certainly those are among, I would have to say, the trailblazers of Russian athletes.
Now, one of the things that athletes have to do in order to be competitive and in order to be successful is maintain a good diet plan. Russians are known to invoke very strict regimented diets and training for their athletes. What's the current diet plan like for you personally?
Well, I tell you that if you've never seen a Vladimir Koloff match, then you probably do not know, but I am probably what is considered super heavyweight or heavyweight. But actually, this year I went from 340 pounds to about 290, just a little bit under 290 right now. And basically, as far as the diet portion, you know, obviously, grilled chicken breast, a lot of grilled chicken breast, vegetables, some fruit, and maintaining the protein and then going, you know, my current gym regimen right now is about 45 minutes of cardio, about an hour of lifting weights, and, you know, trying. Wrestling is a strength sport, but if you cannot tell in today's age in wrestling, it's more cardiovascular than ever has been. A lot of wrestlers have changed the grain of what a wrestler is. You see, in the 80s, you know, it was about power and strength, and it was not uncommon to have a 300-pound muscular athlete. And now, in today's age, it is more of the light heavyweights. And faster and speed and speed and speed. So I try to ingrain both the power and the speed to the best of my ability.
Now, obviously, Russians are known, at least by Americans, as far as, I don't know, urban legend or more of a stricter fact than that, but they are known to indulge in a lot of vodka. They are known to drink a lot as far as what we think of as Russians. Is vodka something that you had to cut out of the diet in order to maintain the current conditioning and getting into better shape?
This is a good question. You see, that is stereotype that our love for vodka and alcohol, and I'm not going to act like that this is not the case with Ruskies, but I tell you, me personally, I'm not much of a drinker. You see, I will have a drink every now and then. Personally, I've steered away from the alcohol in my life, and I prefer sobriety. I mean, like I said, I will have a drink here and there. This is no problem, but I did not have to worry about that with my training regimen. That was not one of the problems.
Now, in professional wrestling, you've been to a lot of promotions, which means you've seen a lot of different referees officiate your matches, especially on the independent circuit. Some referees are extremely good at what they do. Some of them are less so and are thrown into the ring sort of under fire from promoters who are desperate for any officiating. Most wrestlers have a few favorites that they most prefer involve themselves in their match. Do you have a few favorite referees that do your matches?
I don't really have a favorite referee per se, but as far as the issue with the referees are concerned, I will say that I have had the experience of the very good referees and the very bad referees, if you will. And I will say that I will shout out actually a couple of promotions that I've worked for. Diamond Championship Wrestling and Alabama Wrestling Alliance both have a good set of officials, I apologize. And I would commend them on their act. They're referees. They're still new to the business, but they have learned very quick. And the main thing is that, you know, it's like you said, there are promotions that will, for the lack of having an official, will just throw a kid or someone who, a friend or whatever, in the ring and give them basic tutorial on, hey, count this when the shoulders are down and what have you. The biggest key is, as I would say, is just as far as refereeing is you want to have someone trained. You want to have somebody who can be good at what they do, because in my big opinion, and I'm sure wrestlers and fans alike will share this opinion, that a referee in the ring is just as important as the wrestler, as the athlete. They can truly make or break the match if the officiating is off. And then, trust me, I have been there and been involved in these instances to where a referee's involvement or lack of involvement even can really, really mess the match up, if you will. So I would say overall we've got in the Gulf Coast wrestling down here, I've run into some pretty good officials.
One of the promotions where you wrestle regularly is Diamond Championship Wrestling out of Mississippi.
Mm-hmm.
We had the owner of that promotion on this very program not long ago, and he has done a very good job of getting some television and starting to get the word out about the promotion. What do you think of the overall product there as far as it relates to being on television and how the fans seem to be responding when you're doing live shows?
Well, I will tell you that first of all, as far as the television is concerned, they're getting ready to bring it back to television. They've had a hiatus, but this very soon they will be returning. DCW, I've been with them since almost the beginning. I debuted for their company in July of 2017, and I can say since then I've won two times their tag team championships, two times their television championships, and just recently ended a 6-month-plus reign as the heavyweight champion. I will have to say that in the last 2 years, I've watched them grow exceptionally. I've when they first started, their crowds were slowly building up, and now they're at the point to where they're packing buildings out, and fans are really ingrained with what's going on with the product. There are people, you see, for example, not to toot my horn, but I think I'm one of the more popular characters to hate, so to speak. And along with the members of the group that I'm in, the main event, which is myself, MT2, and the Assassin. And we have noticed, I mean, even just a few months ago, as much hatred as the crowd would give me, I had a match back in April, a 2 out of 3 falls match, with Charles West, who is their current champion. And the crowd was so into the match that even at some point they shifted to where a big majority of the crowd was rooting for Charles, but even a good amount of people were chanting for myself in hopes that I would win the match. And I would say that DCW's crowds have DCW as a whole product has grown exceptionally in the last 2 years. And Gene, although I will say that me and him have bumped heads in the past and continue to, even to this day, that he is one of the people that give me a real chance to try and make this character, make this persona that I have, make it my own, and try to and bring my own product to their product and to their fans. And as a result, I've been able to get more dates and shows and more opportunities because of Gene Austin and his wife and the promotion. So DCW, I give credit to as a promotion that has really stuck it out and has done very good for the last couple of years. They continue to grow. They're getting ready to run 3 shows a month now, and the future looks good for them as long as they continue to move forward, which they have. I see nothing but good things for them. And just as long as they continue to book Vladimir Koloff, they need more Koloff.
Absolutely. Now, speaking of fans hating you, and I'm no stranger to that myself, when fans do hate you, sometimes that can lead to some scary incidents, be it fans getting a little too physical with wrestlers, or attempting to do so, or just sort of the mood of the arena can change to where it seems like something could potentially happen. What would you say has been the scariest moment for you so far in your career?
Well, fortunately, I can start off by saying I've yet to be stabbed or shot, knock on wood. So hopefully that never happens. But I have had a knife pulled on me. It was actually last year at a benefit show in Alabama. It was like a 60-year-old man. He thought that I was threatening to hit his girlfriend, and he pulled his knife out, and the security had to stop him. And that's probably, I've had people try to jump the rail. I've had them try to get in the ring. I've had the death threats on social media mainly. I've had just recently someone sent me a message saying they were going to kill me, but you know, I mean, you can try. That's the way I look at it. You can try. But fortunately, other than those instances, I've had nothing truly bad happen yet. The crowd loves to hate Vladimir Koloff, but at the same time, they definitely know their boundaries, it seems. For now, anyway.
Hopefully that does not change.
All right.
Now, also in a similar vein, anyone that has been in the ring for any length of time has come across the occasional injury. It's just a natural part of the wrestling business, being a physical contact sport. Sometimes injuries can be very scary. Sometimes they're more of a lingering, nagging type of situation. What's some of the injuries that you had to overcome thus far?
Well, I tell you, first of all, wrestling is not ballet. That's not, it's cliche, but it's true. And I will say that, wrestling on a constant schedule, you fight every day with the soreness and pain, and the will to want to go on. But the biggest injuries that I've ever had, I've had a couple of concussions, but back in November 2017 at the DCW event, actually, I suffered a separated shoulder. As a result, I tore the labrum in my left shoulder, similar to Finn Balor at the SummerSlam event. And I got it checked out, and I wrestled for 2 more months with it torn. And originally thought it wasn't as bad, but in January of 2018, I had surgery on my left shoulder. They put 3 screws in to repair the muscle. And when I come out of surgery, they actually told me that I tore half of it off, and it was more severe than they had thought. It was supposed to be a 45-minute surgery. It turned to 2 hours, and they told me to take 9 months off, but I ended up only taking around 80 days before I returned to the ring. So that was around April or May that year, and actually I will attest that the shoulder injury was really the what inspired me to do better in the ring, if you will, because the fact that I missed the ring for so long, I mean, the proof in the fact that I come back probably too soon, but the shoulder does good these days. I don't have very many problems, but I've definitely had to be put under the knife before because of professional wrestling.
Hopefully that'll be the last time you have to go under the knife for it.
I agree.
Like you were saying earlier, you are a larger wrestler, definitely a heavyweight. In professional wrestling, a lot of promotions, actually most promotions even, don't really have weight classes that are strictly adhered to. You can have a heavyweight wrestler up against a light heavyweight wrestler fairly commonly in pro wrestling. Who would you say has been the opponent that gave you the biggest size difference, the smallest person you've been in there with?
Well, one of the matches that I first come back, when I first come back, I actually wrestled a handicap match, but both of the guys in the ring were, both of them individually were probably like 150 pounds. I've definitely wrestled smaller guys, but even in turn, I've wrestled myself at 6'2", 290 roughly. Have wrestled 7-foot-tall, 500-pound giants. I mean, people consider me a giant until this big man walks in. And, so I've definitely have had, from guys bigger to guys smaller, I've definitely had that ratio, so to speak.
On the flip side of it, have you ever been in a situation where an opponent was much larger than you?
Again, yes, I have. I've wrestled many times in the South against the man they call the Mountain Man. He's been in the wrestling business for about 30 years. He's actually there's some video online of him wrestling Sid Justice in WCW. But he's 7 foot tall, and his heaviest has been 500 pounds. I think he's more like somewhere between 350 and 4 now. But, I mean, he is a big giant of a man. I mean, like I said, people think that I'm big until this big behemoth of a man comes in. And then you realize really quickly. I mean, imagine being body slammed by somebody who is 7 foot tall. And then being a man like me, I'm not used to being lifted up off the ground so easily.
As someone that has been traveling around lately and has been in a few different promotions, you've obviously been to several different venues, and much like everything else in wrestling on the independent level, the venues can vary because the promoter can put a ring in pretty much any building that's large enough to house it and run a show. There's been shows held in everything from bars to coffee shops to converted warehouses to convention centers to civic arenas on the independent circuit. What would you say has been your favorite venue where you've performed?
Well, I have to tell you, I've certainly been no stranger to the parking lot, the bars, the churches, anywhere like that. In the Gulf Coast, there are actually a few beautiful little buildings that they have, and really are truly by accident built for pro wrestling shows. I mean, there is the Sims Community Center in Sims, Alabama is one of my favorites, and then you've got the Frank Gruitt Center in Biloxi, Mississippi is well nice. It has chairs where you can go around the ring, a stage, and it has a balcony seat. So it just really looks good. My favorite place to wrestle right now, the two favorite places, just simply because of the crowd interaction and how loud they get this, it's probably Codin, Alabama, at the Coastal Response Center. I'll be there this Saturday. And the Pascagoula VFW, because both buildings get really rowdy, and any time you have crowd interaction like that, it really ups your game, so to speak.
Well, at this point in time, my co-host QT Vokes is standing by, and I know that he has questions for you as well, so I'm going to pass things over to him.
Thank you, Sun Guy. Hello, Mr. Koloff.
How are you?
Oh, I'm doing fine. Very good. Mr. Koloff, I saw your YouTube video entitled Vladimir Koloff versus Charles West, and I believe this match was posted in March, so it was fairly recent, about 5 months ago, and you made your entrance to the music of the Russian national anthem, as most Russian wrestlers do. My question is, if someday you decide not to have the Russian national anthem, can you notify us at Turnbuckle Turmoil, and we could start a contest on our Facebook page to give you a different entrance music? Can you notify us?
Well, here's your notification right now. I actually, I still use the national anthem in certain promotions, but actually at Diamond Championship Wrestling and Alabama Wrestling Alliance, I started using a newer song not too long ago. But I'm definitely open to suggestions. If you want to host a contest to see what would be a good song for Vladimir Koloff, I'm certainly open to it.
Oh, this is huge. Sign Guy and myself will get started on this. Now, due to the sheer amount of contests that we have had in the past on Turnbuckle Turmoil, it may take a few weeks to give you a new entrance song. In the meantime, would you consider the song We Have Only Just Begun by the Carpenters? Would you consider this?
You know, as much of a nice American song as that sounds, I think I'll have to pass on that.
Oh, okay. Oh, all right. Okay. Now, before you usually do your matches with Diamond Championship Wrestling, does the management offer you a tepid beverage? Do they have this backstage, and do they offer such beverages as tea or vodka?
You know, this is the sad thing. They only provide water. And Gene Austin, I know you're probably listening right now. You should provide Vladimir Koloff with his own dressing room, where I don't have to share a locker room with all these little pathetic Americans. And certainly catering to take care of Vladimir, your highest and most well-known star. And give Vladimir all the title matches while you're at it. You know, he deserves it. And you need more Koloff, so come on. Don't be dumb, Gene.
Boy, they only provide water backstage. You can get that anywhere, even in Flint,
exactly.
Michigan. Yes.
Ugh, I wouldn't want to try it though.
Boy, do they just say go and drink out of the faucet, or do they at least give you Arrowhead water, bottled water?
They bottle the water. It looks like it comes probably from the nearest retail store, but they bottle it. It is cold, fortunately. And if you're listening right now, I catering in the locker room. You should try and make this happen. I'm just saying.
Oh, okay. Well, Victor, on this match against Charles West, and I believe that you had a copy posted to your Facebook page. I believe it was the one in March. At the 7-minute and 29-second mark of the match, Mr. West gave you a forearm uppercut that lifted you off the canvas and deposited you Fosbury flop style back on the canvas after about a 3-foot fall. Now, I'm talking about Dick Fosbury here, the inventor of the Fosbury flop. However, the great Russian high jumper, Valery Brumel, high jumped a world record 7'5" 3/4" back in 1960 without the Fosbury flop. My question is Valery Brumel a hero in your Russian village, Or is wrestling the number one sports, and has the great sports heroes of the Soviet Union of the 1960s faded from memory?
First of all, I want to point out your research. Very good. I commend you for that. Second of all, obviously you should know by now that Russia's biggest hero is Vladimir Kolov. Vladimir Kolov and wrestling is their favorite pastime. I mean, you know, again, I commend your research, but it looks like you haven't looked into that part. Vladimir Kolov most certainly is their biggest hero, and they tune into the matches I have in America every opportunity they get. And as for Charles West, yes, he did knock me with that uppercut onto my back, but I slipped on a banana or something. I mean, it wasn't really his power or nothing like that. Come on.
Oh, I slipped on a banana. That didn't catch my eye. Wow. Oh, okay. All right. Well, Vladimir, did you receive your blue and white lucha mask from Communist Havana, Cuba?
No, and people, a lot of people like to ask about the mask, and I tell you, you see, think as a logical person here. When you're a Russian, and you're letting these little pathetic Americans know exactly what you think, your thoughts in the wrestling ring, and they hate you, and they threaten to do harm to you. And then you have a family, you have children, and you know these Americans are crazy. And you want to walk into the supermarket, but you don't wear a mask, and they know who you are. There's no peace. There's no peace. You Americans don't give Vladimir any peace, so that's why I wear the mask. But to answer your question, I have my mask custom made.
Oh, wow. Okay. All right, so it wasn't from Havana, Cuba.
No.
Oh, wow. Okay. All right, very good. Okay. Well, Vladimir, if you freeze the video at the 8-minute and 19-second mark, you can see that you stomp Charles in the middle of his back. Now, if you stomped him right above the belt line, it would have affected his lower legs and thus his mobility. And if you had stomped on his upper back, it would have affected his neck and shoulder area, thus hampering his ability to throw a discus punch or knife-edge chop. My question is, why did you target the slightly less frequented middle back area?
Well, it's because it's quite simple. Vladimir Kolov is a technician, if you will. And during that match, Vladimir Kolov knew that if he applied the bear hug hold, and that if Charles didn't try to rake the eyes or cheat in any form, that I most certainly could apply it and force him into submission or even pass out. So the goal there was to apply pressure in any way possible or form to apply the bear hug maneuver, as Vladimir has been known to either go high or go low. To take out the back and the ribs is to take out the air. To take out the air prevents his breathing. Once the breathing is gone, the brain no longer functions. If the brain no longer functions, he cannot think of what to try to do to counter or any other move for that matter. Remove the whole thought system out of his being. He becomes nothing, and then Vladimir Kolov picks the pieces apart, and he's done.
Oh, okay, all right. Plus, you know, it also puts a little bit of it zaps his strength of his aerobic capability, and I think he may have had the edge of you on speed just by a step or two. Yes.
Just by a step or two, I would say. I was 340 pounds at the time of that match. I've lost a little weight, though. So, Charles, if you want to try again, I'm here.
Wow. Okay. All right. All right. Well, Mr. Kolov, as you stomped on his middle back, one could not help but notice your white wrestling boots. Did you have them handcrafted in the city of Leningrad?
Actually, I had them custom made in Moscow, where I live. I had them handcrafted there, and I actually am in the process of having more custom made.
Oh, wow. Okay. All right. Will they be the same white color?
I have a pair of black and a pair of white. They may be different colors. I haven't decided yet, but in the future I will be having new boots. And the idea is to have the protection, but with the ability to have the speed.
Wow. Okay. All right. Very good. Okay. Well, Mr. Kolob, if you freeze the video at the 9 minute and 41 second mark in which you had him in the bear hug, I am reminded when I look at your back of a wrestler from Broken Arrow, Oklahoma, and he is one half of the tag team member of the World Powers, along with his tag partner, Gregor Petrov. I'm talking about Chief Attacullakulla. Are you familiar with the chief, the man with the colored mohawk, Chief Attacullakulla?
I actually am familiar with him. I've never met him nor talked to him, but I am aware of who he is, and I've seen some promotional work as well as some videos of his work.
Inspired by Chief Attacullakulla, are you yourself planning to grow a mohawk?
These are very, very interesting questions you're giving me, I will say. No, I don't inspire to grow a mohawk. Mohawks are other people's things. Vladimir will stick with what he's got.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, are you familiar with his tag partner, another Russian, and he is his name is Gregor Petrov. Are you familiar with Gregor Petrov on Facebook?
I am familiar with Gregor Petrov, and let me tell you, as a fellow Ruski, I wish him nothing but the best of success. It is hard to try and be successful in this country when these Americans try and hold you down every chance you get, so I wish him nothing but luck and success.
Wow. Well, now we also have Gregor Petrov on our Russian month, this month on Turnbuckle Turmoil. We will ask his support in giving you the song We Have Only Just Begun by the Carpenters. We'll ask you if that would be a good choice, if he thinks it's a good choice for you, your entrance music. Yes.
Go ahead. Do that.
Oh, okay. Well, Mr. Kolob, after choking Charles West with what appeared to be a bootlace, the referee counted to four, and you had to stop choking Mr. West, and he got up and shoved the referee. Many Americans in the audience thought you should have been disqualified. My question is, most of these fans that were screaming for you to be disqualified for choking Mr. West and then pushing the referee helped Donald Trump to get elected in 2016. To date, Mr. Trump is the only U.S. president to appear in a WWE wrestling ring, and with such great wrestlers as Umaga, Bobby Lashley, and Stone Cold Steve Austin. My question is, could Donald Trump defeat Vladimir Putin in a Hell in a Cell match?
You're getting a real kick out of this. First of all, your research is wrong. Vladimir Kolob would never do such a thing as try and choke Charles West with a foreign object. I am not a cheater like that. That is very sad of you to accuse me of such lies, such remarks. And the fans, well, those fans don't know what they're talking about. I simply was trying to straighten the referee's shirt. I would never put my hand on an official. You are so wrong in accusing me of that. But to answer your little question, Vladimir Putin is the greatest leader in our world, and he is a very tough man. If you were to put Putin and Trump in a Hell in a Cell match, I have no doubt at all that Vladimir Putin would show Donald Trump what Russia is all about.
Wow, very strong words. And, you know, you could be right on that. Could be right. Yes.
Okay. I am right.
All right. Well, Vladimir, both of your shoulders were down, and the referee counted out a double fall on both of you in a rather bizarre pin configuration by Mr. West himself when he had the pin attempt with his shoulders down. A 2 out of 3 falls match was then called for this past April. How did you do in your rematch against Charles in what I figure was 21 days later?
Well, it was April 13th, and we wrestled for over 30 minutes. And in the end, unfortunately, I did, in fact, lose my DCW heavyweight title to Charles West. And overall, the match was very emotional. Didn't go exactly how I wanted. I'm going to actually take a part now of this interview. And DCW fans, Gene, Charles, especially if you're listening right now, listen to Vladimir very carefully. I've recently started the road to getting back my title. Championship rematches are scarce considering Gene's disdain for me. But Charles, listen here. In the very near future, Vladimir Koloff will get a title shot, I guarantee you. And that title of yours now, that was mine, will be mine once again. I have no doubts about this. Charles West, your days as champion are numbered.
Whoa, if only we at Turnbuckle Turmoil could tell if Charles West is listening, that would be very good. Ooh, boy, that's okay.
I hope he is listening. He actually tried to call me out impromptu after his heavyweight title match this past weekend. And trust me, I want a title shot against Charles West. Gene, if you're listening, make this happen. If you don't make it happen, I will figure out a way to make it happen myself.
Whoa, well, there is that Russian ingenuity. I hear that. Okay. Okay. Well, all right. Well, Vladimir, is it true that Russians are taught not to smile in school? And if so, what were the colors of your high school?
That is a lot of personal information. I have to tell you, and I'm sure if I'm quite comfortable, you want to know a lot about Vladimir. Are you trying to get information on me? Are you trying to do something with my information?
Well, I'm going to sell it on the Russian black market. That was my
That is why I'm not going to do this. As for me and smiling, don't worry about whether I smile or not. I'm generally happy guy.
Oh, okay. Okay. All right. Well, Vladimir, is it true that there is a Russian superstition that says that the first person to enter a new house would die first, so they usually send in a cat? And if the cat refused to enter the new house, they tear down the house and rebuild somewhere else. Is this a true Russian superstition?
I do not know if this is true or not, but it sounds weirdly, what is the word I look for? It sounds like something that you should do, actually, for lack of a better term. If your animal wouldn't enter in there, what makes you think you should? Think about the animals play with, they play in their own poop, for Christ's sake.
Whoa.
These are weird questions you're giving me. You know this?
Well, they are steeped in Russian folklore, yes. And yes.
This is true. This is true, but needs more Koloff.
Well, what if you were in Russia and you could travel back in time? Would you try and make Big Cat Ernie Ladd enter your house first? Big Cat Ernie Ladd.
Wow, this Big Cat Ernie Ladd, no, would not try to make him enter my house first.
Oh, okay.
You've got a lot of these little zingers, don't you?
Well, Big Cat Ernie Ladd, you know, that's wrestling related. Very good. Uh-huh. Yes. Okay. Well, Vladimir, the Russian city of St. Petersburg has 3 times as many bridges as Venice, Italy. Do you yourself do neck bridges to strengthen your neck?
Vladimir Koloff, I did when I started off. Not so much now, but it is certainly an exercise that I need to improve on, so to speak. I certainly rely on my powers these days, and that would be one way to improve.
Oh, okay. All right. Very good. Well, Mr. Kolov, it's well known that the lakes of Russia contain one-fourth of the world's fresh waters. My question is, do you use a rowboat on these fresh waters like the great Russian Olympic wrestler Alex Karelin?
I'm not a big fan of rowboating, but I have in the past. And let me tell you, the lakes are the purest and cleanest of all the country, just as you stated. It's definitely a beautiful sight to see. But no, as far as rowboating, I have, but it is not generally something I would go and do.
Wow. Well, I have just heard that Charles West said that he would use his big torpedo to sink a rowboat that you were in. This is just confirmed, a big torpedo.
I don't think Charles could afford the big torpedo.
Oh, okay. Wow. No, okay. All right. Well, Mr. Kolov, the currency of Russia is called the ruble, and Russian artists are known for their work in animated cartoons. What if a Russian wrestler with the last name of Ruble were to wrestle Barney Rubble of the Flintstones in an animated cartoon? Who would win? Ruble versus Rubble.
Whoever drew them would draw whoever they want to win. So whoever the artist wants to do this.
Wow, okay. All right. Well, Mr. Kolov, the Soviet Union in 1957 launched the world's first space satellite, Sputnik. My question is, did you ever hear of the American wrestler Sputnik Monroe?
Yes, I have. I've heard of Sputnik Monroe and some of his out of the ring work, more or less, his activism and what have you. And yes, I've heard of Sputnik Monroe. He recently passed away not too long ago.
Yes, he did. May he rest in peace in that wrestling ring in the sky. Yes. Okay. All right. Well, Vladimir, there are approximately 10 million more women in Russia than there are men. The imbalance was initially believed
to be
the result.
I know that there is a lot of women in the country. I would know.
Well, they think that there were so many, this imbalance was caused by World War II. My question is, how is the state of women's wrestling in Diamond Championship Wrestling, and are there any great women's Russian women wrestling for Diamond Championship Wrestling?
There's not very many women's wrestling in Diamond Championship Wrestling right now, but I know that Gene is looking for women pro wrestlers to make an impact in the company. So certainly I would expect that there would be more soon. And Gene, if you're listening, a Russian lady would certainly be better for your company.
What is the hardest knife-edge chop you have ever received from a Russian lady in the city of Moscow? The hardest knife-edge chop.
There was that one night. I'm not going to go into that. No, it was a fun night, though, I say.
Wow. All right. Well, Mr. Kolov, it's been very nice talking with you. And both Sign Guy and myself will get started on a contest on our Turnbuckle Turmoil Facebook page to give you new entrance music. And we'll also specifically ask Gregor Petrov what his choices would be for you. And at this time, I'm going to turn it back over to Sign Guy.
Well, I will say it was interesting time talking to you. The pleasure was all yours.
Oh, thank you. Well, I hope that you had some too. Okay. Back to you, Sign Guy.
Thank you, QT. Well, Mr. Kolov, we have a few minutes left in the show, and I want to make sure there is ample time for you. If there is anything you would like to say to the listeners today, plug and promote absolutely anything and everything you would like, your social media, upcoming appearances, merchandise, your favorite European bakery, anything in the world, floor is all yours.
Thank you, sir. First of all, I want to tell all of these Americans, do not be pathetic. Join the Koloff movement. You need more Koloff. Without a shadow of doubt, you can see Vladimir Koloff on social media. Go to facebook.com/needsmorekoloff. There, you can contact me about buying the brand new Vladimir Koloff t-shirt or any other of my merchandise. As far as appearances, this coming month I have a range of appearances. This Saturday night I will be wrestling in the main event of the Alabama Wrestling Alliance event in Codin, Alabama, where I am one half of the tag team champions. It would be a six-man tag, myself and my group, the main event versus their heavyweight champion Brimstone and the Kings of Destiny. The Alabama Wrestling Alliance, definitely one of the biggest upcoming promotions in Alabama. From there on, next Friday, because I'm wrestling on a Friday next week. Lost Art of Wrestling makes their debut show happen in McGee, Mississippi, and Vladimir Koloff will be there. Following that, in Ocean Springs, Mississippi, Vladimir Koloff returns to Ocean Springs to face Jarrell the Beast Maxwell, who I will crush because I can. Following from there, Vladimir returns to Tennessee for Middleton Independent Wrestling. The following night, I make my debut for the PWA in Oxford, Mississippi. From there on, August the 24th, Vladimir Koloff returns to Pascagoula, Mississippi for Diamond Championship Wrestling. And then August the 31st, I make my return to Pro Wrestling Ego in Pearl, Mississippi. This will be my second time working for them. I'm looking forward to that show. For more information on those events, you can, again, come to my Facebook page, facebook.com/needsmorekoloff. And from there on, once again, I can't say it enough, each and every one of you need more Koloff.
Absolutely. Well, Mr. Koloff, thank you very much for being on the show today. I want to encourage all the listeners to go out and support Mr. Koloff and his appearances. You need more Koloff, of course. Buy the merchandise. Search him out on the YouTube. If he's not appearing near you, get word out on this great, great talent. And on a less happy note, I want to send out our condolences. We lost a couple of wrestlers this week. First one being one of my very first tag team partners, Billy Ray Hickerson. He passed away a few days ago after a prolonged illness. One of the greatest heels I ever saw in my career. He was fantastic at what he did. Great partner, and I learned a lot from him. Also, one of the all-time greats in our industry, Harley Race, passed away after a battle of lung cancer just yesterday. We definitely want to send our thoughts and condolences to the families and colleagues of both men, and we will end the show with the traditional 10-bell salute to them.